Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Pursuing your future doesn't end at 40. In fact, it may mark the beginning of knowing who you are, what you're capable of, and what you really want. But knowing what's next and how to get there can be a challenge, especially when old narratives play on repeat. Liberty Road is here to share stories so that you can consider your possibilities, pursue your purpose, and move into your future with intention. I'm your host, Netta Jones, and we're here to listen, learn, and liberate dreams one episode at a time. Well, hello, Liberty listeners. Welcome to another episode of Liberty Road. Today, you guys get to hear from Sohi Jun, PhD. I'm so excited for you guys to listen to her insight, to hear how she's come to do the work that she's doing, and to get a little inside peek into her upcoming book that'll drop March 5th, I think it is. Yeah. So, Sohi, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you.
I have been looking forward to this, Netta. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So he first let us know, what is a leadership coach do?
What we do has changed through the years. So Netta, I've been doing this work for so long, over 20 plus years, and it's an honor to do what I do. And in that time, it's really transitioned from looked at and perceived a certain way to really being a gift. So what we do is really a lot of things. And I would say the first thing is that we are the thought partner. So really helping you think about things differently, challenging you to think about and maybe frame it up differently. If there are blockers that are constantly coming up for the person, the coach is really there to be a very active listener and a deep listener, which is very different from, you know, listening to respond. It's listening to understand. So from that, we ask really deep questions that allow the person to unlock and see things differently. Aside from the act of listening and aside from the questions, we bring a slew of frameworks. And for me, with a PhD, I have all of the things, the frameworks and the theories that I bring customized to the person. So if you and I were in a coaching session, Netta, I would really hone in on what you're saying and pick in the moment the frameworks and the action steps that would be most helpful for you. Coaches do things a little bit differently. What I do is I'm deeply present and in the moment, and I sit with what is and I work with that.
So who comes to you? I mean, leadership coach, that conjures up for me somebody who's kind of a C-suite level person or somebody who is a thought leader and perhaps writing a book or whatever. Like, did I get that right?
Or, yes, or yes.
Is it more expansive than that? Maybe am I leaving a population out? I don't want to leave anybody out.
So I'm going to say yes to all of that. You know, I've had 15 years in corporate, so I have deep relationships with all of the leaders, the female leaders in corporations like media and entertainment and startups as well. And so those are the women that come find me and repeat. You know, they have worked with me in different ways and they want to re-up or for the first time really get serious about working with a coach. So a lot of the people that come to me are from the corporations that I used to work in and through networks. And more, there are people that want to work with me outside of the corporation and want to do, you know, their own personal growth and development. So I'm seeing more of that as well.
And are they people that are, it's sort of an acute situation, like it's a roadblock, it's something that they're trying to overcome and they pursue you? Or is it somebody who's like, I know I need this for my personal and professional growth?
Yeah, from corporations, it's typically a, hey, you know, you have done really well, and we want to get you from good to great. So it's they've been an individual contributor and maybe a solo person on a team. And then they've now been promoted to this team that they have P&L and all of these big responsibilities that help drive revenue and a big team. So it's in those moments of transition when people call me in to say, hey, we know your sweet spot is working with female leaders and executives. They need it because of the transition that they're in. And so those are the times that it's really valuable to get that support because it requires new skills. And the other thing I say, Netta, which is really important, is that the way that these women or leaders get value and confidence needs to shift with the transitions.
Sure, sure. And I assume that as that they're being elevated, they're perhaps removed from people that had been their peers. They can't talk about the same things. They can't share or be as transparent because they're in a leadership position. They are making decisions that could impact people. So to have somebody in the room who's actually listening to them for their sake versus for the sake of, are they going to elevate me? Are they going to demote me? Are they going to put me on this team? There's a level of transparency that can't exist in those former peer relationships that can exist with somebody like you.
Yeah, absolutely. And the most successful coaching relationships are ones in which there has to be trust. You have to trust your coach because it is that safe container, much like therapy, and a lot of differences too. Obviously, there's similarities and differences. And coaching is really, how I define it, is how do we take who you are today, amplify what's working, remove the blockers, and give you new strategies and ways of behaving, more importantly, to really get you forward to where you want to be. And those are those moments of transition and shifts. And also, you know, I've led teams and I have been a member of a team and then had to manage that same team. So there's all these challenges that women face or just leaders face in the corporate world, as you've mentioned some. And it's those moments that leadership, a coach is called in, like me.
You just mentioned your background and what you used to do in corporate and that you kind of were familiar with what those challenges were. Yeah. What did you see when you were working in corporate that led you to say to yourself, I want to be a coach. I want to exit what I'm currently doing and move into a position to come alongside people? What was that moment for you? And what did you see that needed fixing?
Yeah, phenomenal question. And it's a series of things. Like with most ahas, there are a lot of breadcrumbs that lead to that. And one of the strengths I think I bring to a situation is being able to connect the dots in a macro way. And for to answer that question around, you know, what I was seeing that allowed me to pivot and move out of corporate life and, you know, focus specifically on coaching female leaders, there were a few things. One, I coach from lived experience. And I think that that's important because not only do we need the frameworks and the strategies and the book knowledge, I think it's important for a coach to really understand what it's like the needing to manage up while you're managing a team, mm-hmm. being sandwiched in the middle as an executive with a lot of responsibilities and a lot of stress and not a lot of impact, maybe. How do you manage up? And I grappled with those in corporations. So, you know, I started my career doing broad organization development work. So what that means is talent management. So that's how most people know it today. So, you know, managing culture, strategy, facilitating, doing a lot of team building, a lot of coaching as well. And so started out broad in my career. And in those moments when I was coaching, I really noticed the impact that I could make directly. And I found that to be so powerful in ways that's different than when you impact a team. Yes, all good, all, you know, very impactful and different levels of impact. So what I was looking for is, and what really lit me up, Netta, is that when I sat with that person, that woman or that leader, and there were ahas and ways that they were thinking about things differently and actually acting on that, they saw that things started to shift for them in positive ways. That literally, and I get goosebumps talking about it even now, it just lit me up. So I was following that. Okay, I make impact here. The other thing about connecting the dots macro is that I was able to see the gap in terms of, hey, I'm the only one in the room. Where are my fellow females? Why am I the only? And I think a lot of women, especially, you know, as they're growing their career, probably felt that in corporate America. I know that there's been so many talks in my own circle and so many books and stats about this, right? So it's we know this. And that was a personal experience for me. I'm the only in the room.
Yeah.
We need to elevate. We need to amplify. We need to, as I say, I want to change the landscape of leadership. And that's really in working with women because, you know, I know that women lead differently, not good or bad. This isn't a judgment thing. It's more that, you know, we connect differently and we include differently. So those were all of the things that I had noticed and that I was putting together that really gave me the courage to leave a very prestigious corporate life where, yes, I had the corner office and I had a really big team and all of the accolades that a lot of people mark as successful life. And I knew that that's not what I wanted to do innately to me. And so I left and took the risk of starting my own firm, specifically working with female leaders.
I love in hearing your story that it's the intersection of where you could serve and where you came alive. And I want our listeners to hear that, that for you, leadership coaching is the end result. But what you had to pay attention to were those two things that were independent and what, and the secret sauce for you is that they intersected, right?
Yeah.
You had said, it was great managing teams, but where you really felt moved and motivated was when you were dealing with the individual. So when we pay attention to those things that spark something in us, I think that's like the first step of moving toward whatever that calling is, whatever that future best self is. So thank you for saying that, because I think you articulated very well why you moved forward with that decision to become a leadership coach.
Yeah, Netta, and to add on that, it is why I work with women to really help them hone in on those moments more and more. And what I also know through all my years in working with women is that we hide that for whatever reason. You know, there's a maybe a fear around listening to that, oh, this really lights me up, but it feels very scary. And that's the other piece that I saw all around me is women hiding for various reasons and not really wanting to listen to that or feel into that. And, you know, I, as a coach, I try to get people to be more heart and brain integrated. What that means is it's, yes, we have a very powerful brain that allows us to make very strategic decisions on the fly and everything else. And when we balance that out with our intuition and, you know, heart things, what a powerful way to be in the world and way to lead.
And your insight into that and the research really that you've been able to do as a result of walking alongside so many women has led you to
this next project, which is your book, this book that I mentioned at the top of the show that launches March 5th. Did I get the date right?
Yes, you did.
I'm so glad. I was like, I hope I got that right. So tell us a little bit about the book. It's called The Inner Game, which I love. Secrets of High Achieving Women for Navigating Work, Life, and Mindset. That is quite a heavy lift. So tell us, what is it that you wrote the book for a reason. You wrote it to teach us something. What do you want to teach us in this book? What do you want us to walk away with? High level. I know we all need to get the book and read it, but high level.
No, I love that you're plugging it. Thank you. I'm going to reframe that a little bit. And for me, the book is less about what I want it to teach people. That's an outcome. Yes. Hopefully people walk away with something. And it's more about the feeling I want the women to feel when they read and open up this book. So, you know, what I'll share is that, yes, it took a year of research and surveying all of the successful women that I coach and that are in my circle. So it was a labor of love. You know, I also am a research geek. So I took a year to research really about mindset and how people persevere. What are those things that still keep you up at night? So those are some of the components of the book that I think are really special. And it's a collection of wisdom that is really talked about and dropped into the scene of my kitchen table. I think there's nothing more connective and more additive than food for women too. Like, my most vulnerable and powerful conversation and sharing of wisdom has happened over dinner or some sort of eating, communal thing, right? Yeah. I see Annetta, you're shaking your head, yes. So it is that scene. I drop readers into that scene where, like, you're invited to my table with these women, and I want you to feel seen and heard and valued for all of the things that you bring to this and all of the vulnerabilities that you may feel as you read this book. I want women to feel like they're not alone in this journey of reaching what they think is their definition of success and how they define success. And the other thing too is that shifts through the season of our lives, right? Netta, you know this.
Yes, yes.
It shifts. So how do we honor that and take the pieces that really resonate with us in the conversations that we're having throughout the different chapters and then go for it in an unapologetic way?
So you are bringing other voices into the book, other stories. This isn't just from your point of view. That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, my first book was really about my experience. And this one, this is why I love it so much. I'm not going to say more. They're each unique and more because it is the collective wisdom of all of these women that allowed me to survey them and really tap into, you know, what's the worst piece of advice you received and why, and what's the best, and those things that we talk about in our closest circle of intimate moments. I wanted to blow that up in a book to make it accessible to everyone who may not have a tribe like that, who may feel like they're going through challenges and seasons of life alone. So yeah, it is lots of thoughts from different women and a collection of wisdom.
I love that. And I, like you, believe deeply that that's how we can change lives, is when we share each other's stories. It's the reason this podcast exists. It's the reason we tell stories on our website. It's the reason we created After School. It's also we can share each other's stories and become better as a result. And we see each other in those stories. We see ourselves in those stories. I learn from you when I sit down with you. We haven't had a meal together yet. We've had a cup of coffee. Well, we kind of had a meal at the event, right? At our big October event. But we share those moments of what's meaningful for you. Yes, that's meaningful for me too. How can I support you? Those things happen around sharing each other's stories and being available to one another. So thank you for the work that you have done on that. I'm so excited to get our collective hands on it and to celebrate the stories of so many of the women that you're bringing to the table for us. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have to ask you, what maybe was a through line in writing the book that you heard through all the stories, whether it was a fear or a hope, or was there anything that at the end you said, wow, they're all connected in this particular way?
Yes. Oof. It is this feeling of insecurity that I think is the through line. And boy, just as I speak about it, you know, and I think about the moments of my life, no matter what stage I'm in, I think that I will always feel a level of insecurity because my game that I'm in is pushing myself to grow. Mm-hmm. And what I know to be true is that when you're successful, however we define it, we're always pushing ourselves. And coupled with that is insecurity. And, you know, in all the ways that we know it to show up and in even more nuanced ways of like, yes, you know I can do this. I've been here before and I still feel a level of insecurity. As women, we do this comparison game of like, so-and-so is so successful, looks like they have it all together. What's her secret? What don't I know?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that too. So I think to answer your question, it is that level of insecurity that shows up in any situation that feels like we're taking a risk and that is important to us, that appears no matter how successful you are. You know, I've had the women in this book, they are at the top of their game. They've had successful businesses and they still feel that.
I love that we can all be distilled to these kind of familiar and common things, right? No matter how elevated we are. I heard recently a woman who I believe she was an author, and she was talking about being at a book signing, and somebody said, I feel like everything you're saying directly to me. And she said, the reason is I'm writing these things for myself to heal myself. And if it's speaking to other people and they feel like I'm speaking to them, it's because we're actually all the same. We're all so similar. Isn't that lovely?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. And I just thought, wow, I think that's why vulnerability and transparency, we see that in social media. We see that, you know, we see people saying that over and over and over again. When you can share yourself authentically, that's when we connect. And I think it's because people can see themselves in that, right? It's not just because they or like, oh, so he looks cool. I think I'll follow her. It's something about who you're being connects to them and connects to whatever pain point they have or whatever need they have. And they see that similar need in us and feel an affinity for us or the work we're doing or the brand or whatever it is. So as you're putting this book out, I imagine lots of people will be saying things like that to you. So you're talking a lot about women who are finding themselves in a place where perhaps they need someone like you to come alongside them because it's this proverbial kind of lonely at the top sort of idea, right? Mm-hmm. And so relationships become really, really important. They're important at all levels. Yeah. But the irony is that as you get more busy and you get more responsibility and you get more titles thrown your way, you're pulled away from people and you don't have time for some of those personal relationships. And there's a great, great need for them. What have you seen as you've coached women in terms of the need for relationships, the need for community, and how have you directed them on that journey?
Yeah, you know, I think that word connection and community has been louder and louder in the past few years. And I think given everything that we've all collectively gone through, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen is, especially as people, as women ascend to the top, they want to be more strategic with their time, which means that, you know, friendships that used to be more organic and or, you know, let's just call each other when we have time, they fall by the wayside. And oftentimes these women look up and they go, wait, where are all of my friends and where did they go? And I feel this sense of loss of like, wait, I'm missing a key piece of what kept me fulfilled and connected and, you know, like a part of something bigger. And so in, you know, a corporate sense, if that's a key piece, what I share with them is like, look, you can be strategic and add what I call or curate what I call a board of mentor or, you know, a board of advocates, if you will, which mm-hmm. looks like, you know, hey, Netta, I'm going to come to you and you want to connect with you because you're so great at X, Y, and Z. And let's talk about those things. And then the relationship grows. So that's one strategic way you can do that. But for me, it's always about making time because we use time as an excuse. I'm too busy. I just can't. And I've got X, Y, and Z. The reality is life will always be busy. Mm-hmm. And the question is, what do you make time for that is really important and a priority to you? And really having people reflect on that. And if for some reason they're like, well, friendships don't really matter to me at this point in time. Okay, let's honor that. And then if you feel that it is something that's really missing in your life, then let's find ways to really cultivate that. So it starts from a place of like, okay, what is it that you're missing? And how do we fill in those gaps? And if it's community and connection, why did that go away? And how can we bring that back? I anchor on what's possible. I think in that framing and in the looking at the world in the way of what's possible comes a lot of different solutions that maybe you didn't think about before.
Yeah, I like that you pointed out the time thing and that carving that out and making that our responsibility, because that is something we can do, is create time, create space for those things to thrive, for those relationships to thrive. And one of the things that we've heard time and time again in our greater community is people longing for relationships, women longing for that connection. And some of it is their life has evolved. Perhaps they're not on the sidelines with the same group of soccer parents that they had been friends with for 10 years. Kids are starting to, you know, they're getting older, they're driving, they need less of mom and dad. Some of us have kids in college or are empty nesting. And so all of our relationships have really evolved in this season of life. And we need to be intentional about carving out that time because life is busy. We're all busy. It's kind of a boring excuse, to be honest, right?
I have to say, yes, it's boring and kind of the quick flippant response. I'm so busy.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at that. So can I want to share a personal story.
Please.
I've really felt that recently because as my priority is, it's really getting the word out about the book. And in addition to that, I am coaching full time. And in addition to that, you know, running my own business. And I have three kids who, the oldest being 14, I'm helping him navigate finding the right high school for him. And you know that that can be a process. Yeah. And I have a 12-year-old wonderful daughter who's also going through a transition in her life, and then a 9-year-old boy. So it's very easy for me to say, I'm busy.
Yeah.
And in hunkering down on my focus of helping my oldest get into high school, the right high school, focusing on finishing the book and doing all that I need to do and running my business, I literally looked up like 2 weeks ago and I go, oh my gosh, I feel an emptiness that only relationships and those that girlfriends can provide. And so it really reminded me, I'm like, okay, I feel this. It's been nagging at me for a few weeks now. What can I do to help me move closer to connection? So when I anchored on that question, I was like, oh, the girlfriends are at the ready. I think that they felt me being hunkered down. So kind of did their own thing too. So it's a two-way street in this. And if we want connection, we have to make a bid for that.
Yeah.
So for me, that was, ladies, I miss you. I need you. Let's get dinner. And of course, they were at the ready and let's make time and connect with each other. So that was a real-time example of, man, when we hunker down and just get into the weeds of things, we sometimes have to really lift up and see, okay, I need my girlfriends.
Yeah. And we do. We do. We do need each other.
Oh, yeah.
We're designed to be in community. We're designed to need each other. Mm-hmm. What do you think, as somebody who is traveling in this middle third and has been around a lot of people and coached a lot of people who are also traveling in this middle third, what do you think this particular season of life offers in terms of mindset in terms of life, in terms of work. I'm going back to your book.
Yeah.
What are some things that this season has afforded us? We hear a lot about what it's taken away from us. What does it afford us?
So, I mean, off the bat, I would say it affords me and a lot of women more core confidence than they've ever had. Mm. And that, you know, my saying is always confidence is built in the doing. And by this phase of our life, we've done a lot, many of us. You know, we've been road tested through challenges in our own ways. For me, you know, it's the loss of both my parents early in my life and going through a divorce. So for me, it's going through those challenges, and I'm not trying to glamorize challenge at all. It's just to say that when I reflect and pick myself back up, it means that I have a little bit more confidence in myself and trust in myself. And I think in this middle third, in this part of our life, we have more of that than we've ever had, which I think is so beautiful. Mm. And that then allows me to say no more to those things that I used to say yes to just flippantly, speaking of time, right? Like, yes, 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 I don't want to miss out. For many of us, this season allows us to really relish JOMO, which is the joy of missing out. You know, there's nothing more satisfying.
I love that. I have never heard that. I love it. Yes. I'm using it today.
Netta, did I just blow your mind?
You did. So you've blown my mind before, but this was a new one. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to. I was trying to be quiet just to make my face, but.
Oh, I love that.
Go ahead.
It is this. You know, I love saying no more than I ever have. And it's with intention and purpose to ground myself on the things that matter to me, which is my girlfriends, my children, and doing the things that bring me joy, which is my work. So I'm more confidently able to say no and know that there isn't anything that I'm missing out on. And I'm okay staying home and reading a good book. And I think, too, at this stage of life, for me in particular, and I think a lot of women can relate to this, it's this ability to look ahead and look back. You know, looking back at my experiences that give me confidence and also being able to look ahead because, you know, there's so many women that are doing great things and paving the way for us. I look up to a lot of women that are in their 60s and 70s and doing really bold things authentically to them. Mm. That gives me so much joy and inspiration. And I think it's such a great point in life to be able to frame it on what's working well and use your, you know, experience through the challenges, the hard-won wisdom to help you navigate life.
Oh my gosh. Amen. Thank you for that. And JOMO, is that what it is? Using it. I am 100% using that. So I want to get into our fast five with you. I can't wait to hear what your answers are to some of these questions. So what's a daily practice that keeps you grounded? Something, I mean, asking a leadership coach this, we're going to get a good one here.
Well, this is also not you know, unique.
Yeah.
It's my meditation practice. So, Netta, my dad was an ordained Buddhist monk. And so, you know, in my early years, I was like, I don't care. I can't sit still. My mind is just a monkey running around all over the place. So I didn't pursue it at all. And in the pandemic, it really allowed me to come back to that practice and double down. And it's now a non-negotiable. And here's what I say, Netta, when times feel really chaotic and a swirl is when I do it even longer. Mm. I sit there and I do guided meditations for probably 45 minutes to help ground me.
Wow. Did you start out with 45 minutes or have you grown?
Yeah, it's a 4-year journey. Yeah, no, it started with like 3 minutes. And I'm like, okay, that's good.
Yeah, so no. Okay. No, it's important to hear because I think we can hear things like that, whether it's exercise or meditation or whatever it is, and to know that somebody's grown into that, right? That's not where they started. So thank you for being honest about that.
Oh, absolutely.
And you made reference to a good book, staying home with a good book. What is something that you're reading right now?
Oh gosh, I'm always reading. So I'm hard copy reading and also listening on Audible, two different books. I'm just voracious. I have an insane curious mindset. So the physical book is called The Greatness Mindset by Lewis Howes. And I believe it came out last year, and it's a really great reminder of the habits that really help you get to success, whatever that looks like for you. And then I'm listening to Manifest in Action on Audible by Roxy Nafusi. And I found her first book to be really powerful. And so this one is a deep dive into what does that actually mean, manifesting? It's such a popular term now, isn't it? Like we see it and hear it. I am a believer in that and also doing the work to bring that to life. So I'm listening to that.
Yeah. We will have both of those in the show notes. So thank you for sharing those. And going back to this relationship question, because we're focusing on it in the podcast this particular season, how have relationships played a role in your success? Now, you talked about most recently calling your friends and saying, hey, guys, I miss you. I want to hang out. Tell me about relationships as it relates more specifically to your professional life and the success that you've had up until now.
So number one thing in my life that has attributed to my success in my career is literally all the relationships and people I've gotten to know and that have looked back and helped me in my career. So a prime example is when I was in grad school, you know, I got into the, just to back up, I'm getting so excited, I can't even get my words out. Relationships have always been fascinating to me as a kid, which is why I studied psychology in undergrad. It's been the big Uber theme in my life, the meta, relationships and people. And I have an insane curiosity for what makes people tick, triggers, why do we do the things we do, which landed me in my career and doing that in the workplace. And to answer your question more directly, it's the connections and the people that I've met that have really helped me onto my next job. I literally have received, you know, every job that I can recall in my career has been through people. And, you know, when I get pinged on LinkedIn and I get asked by the up and comers and the people that are newer to the field about what do they do and how do they get their start or make their next move, I always go back to it's the relationships that you take time to build and put energy into, and not in any generic way, right? It's so easy to do that generically nowadays with technology and just like, hey, can I have 5 minutes every time? Which, you know, to me, there's nothing more off-putting than a generic request. I ask people to like get genuinely curious about that person you want to connect with. Find something that is really relevant and what you admire specifically about them, and use that as a way to connect, as a starting point, because those are the things that no one will ever regret saying. I've never heard anyone up to this point in my life say, I regret making connections.
No, it's a great point. Thank you for filling that question out and giving us even an example. I really appreciate it. And I think as we talk about relationships, for some people, it's a how do I do that? How do I pursue that? Especially professional relationships. And I'm thinking of all the listeners who have taken 15 years off to raise a family and are trying to think about how to get back into it and where to start. And it's going to start with relationships more than a resume. It's going to start with relationships.
Yes, Netta. And I actually was on a panel. I talked about this yesterday, and that was a big question. The gaps in their resume, right? Yeah. And my insight to that was own the gaps.
Yeah.
You know, if you own why you took those gaps and can make a story out of your career that includes those gaps, there's nothing more powerful than that. And oh, by the way, that allows you to really not be embarrassed about taking a year or two or five. I took a year off. And for me, when I entered back into the corporate world, it was about, okay, here's why I did that. Here's the strengths and the skills that I used in the year that I took off. And here's how I can amplify that in the workplace. So make it a tie through, not a oops, I did this, you know, type of thing.
There's a lot more ownership around the gap these days. And we're seeing more and more companies be mindful of that in reading resumes and be welcoming and even inviting to that. So I think as we learn more, in fact, I'd love to do an after school. I'd love to do like a gap resume writing exercise or something. Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, that would be so needed. I could see everyone wanting to come right? to that. Do it.
Yeah. I think we should. I think we should. Okay, I'm turning the fast five into not fast five. So, and then what are you loving about this particular season of life? What have you benefited from? What has Sohee enjoyed as she stepped into her 40s and soon to be 50s? What are you enjoying in this season?
Oh, Netta, it is literally the more trusting of me and my intuition. Hmm. That is something that I think I work on a daily basis through the actions that I take. And it's this peace and also vulnerability and knowing that I've got my own back and that I can trust my intuition and that it will work out, not in a prescriptive way, not in a forced way, just that I have this trust in myself. And boy, that makes things a little bit more lighter and a little less pressurized. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that you've got your own back. I think for any of us to come to that place with ourselves it's a rich process to go through to come to that point in life, but it's something that we should all be moving toward. And funny enough, we're talking about that as we talk about relationships and the need for that. And it doesn't eliminate the need for other people. It's just your ability to trust yourself, your ability to listen to yourself and to trust the decisions that you want to be making from your heart more than from your head. So thank you for that. And this is our final question that we ask everybody. How has the work you're doing as a leadership coach, how has it liberated you, the woman, Sohee?
Oh my goodness. I say being a coach has helped me more than anyone else. Honestly, you know, being a lover of growth, it both allows me to challenge myself and the community that I get to be around with fellow coaches or people that are insane about growth and development. It gives me the tools to work on me. And also, by the way, I have a coach that coaches me every week. So it keeps me growing in the ways that I need to, and also maybe didn't even anticipate.
Yeah. I think there's something kind of like when we talked about the intersection of what you were looking for and how you served the world, I think there's something very profound about when we are learning ourselves, that gives us the ability to teach others. When we're in constant sort of growth mode, then we have more to offer other people. We are doing in after school this last, gosh, it's almost February, but we were going over the Arthur Brooks book, Arthur Brooks and Oprah Winfrey book about, what is it called? I have it here. Build the Life You Want. That's what it's called. And there is a lot about growth and happiness being linked to teaching other people. So it makes sense that your own liberation has come from your own growth, and it's maximized by you teaching other people and coaching other people through whatever season of life they're in. So well done, Sohee. Way to nail the life game. My gosh. That's awesome.
Well, beautifully said, Netta.
Well, it's funny how, you know, I'm in the listening game too, in interviewing people. And it's funny how you just find these connections over time and you're like, oh yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. So case in point, great example for what I just learned. Thank you for that. And thank you for joining us on the show. It's such a pleasure to have you. And I'm so excited to get my hands on the book and to be listening to all the stories that will, I know, impact my own.
Well, as a fan of Liberty Road and an avid listener to the podcast, it's been an honor to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. And Liberty listeners, thank you guys for hanging out with Sohee and with me. We will have everything she mentioned in the show notes, including her upcoming book. Sohee, thanks again. And we'll see everybody next week. Bye for now.
Liberty Road is broadcast on all platforms: Apple Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcast, and more. If you like what you've heard, please follow, rate, and review Liberty Road on Apple Podcast and Spotify. It helps us to know if these episodes are inspiring and equipping you to move into your middle third with intention. Liberty Road is created by executive producer Netta Jones, supervising producer Elizabeth Windham, producer Julia Windham, and music by Jack Jones.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.